Amen, amen. Take your Bibles this morning if you brought a copy of the Word of God, and let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're noting verse number 14 through verse number 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 through verse number 18. Follow along as I read this morning. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word, and I thank you that you are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus, and I thank you for that. And I do thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul, a man who was a very strong Christian, but a man who realized that you never forsook him. You never fled from him when others did. And so touch our hearts this morning through your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, my God, like you there is.
thank you. Appreciate that this morning. Aren't you glad that we have a great God who is our rock and our redeemer? And praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother Robin, could you move those mics, please? Not that I'm a roaming preacher, but yeah, it's put over there in the corner. Appreciate it. When things are out of order, they distract me. What do you call that, OCDC? I don't know. Whatever that is. But anyway, have you ever been lonely, or are you experiencing that now in your life? I've seen more people lonely in the last 2 years than I've ever seen in my life. According to a survey, more than 3 in 5 Americans are lonely, and more people report feeling like they are left out, poorly understood, and lacking companionship. Loneliness. What is loneliness? It is that empty feeling in the pit of the stomach, almost to the point of nausea. It is that underlying anxiety, a big black pit. It is that sharp ache in moments of grief or separation. It is a long period of stress that wears you down until you are discouraged and defeated. I would remind us from the scripture this morning that after God created man, he said this: it is good, it is not good for man to be alone. God understood the importance of companionship. He understood that he did not create man to be alone. Now, there is a difference between being lonely and having some solitude. There's times you'll take a vacation. You want to get away from it all and just get things back in order in your own thoughts and mind. That's solitude. But loneliness, people can experience even in a crowd this size. And in fact, we live in a world that is approaching 8 billion people, and you would think, how in the world could people ever be lonely with that many people on planet Earth? But the truth of the matter is, people can be. Paul was a strong Christian. He was the one that wrote this letter to Timothy. A very strong Christian, and you would think that this man probably never had a lonely moment in his life, but reality is, he did. He is now approaching the end of his life, and he's in prison as he writes this letter. And so he gives an indication, though he doesn't use the word loneliness, but I think as we go through the passage this morning, you will see some of his expressions of loneliness, and then how he dealt with it, and how you and I can deal with it if and ever we are lonely in life. So would you notice with me, first of all, this morning, the expressions of his loneliness. We see that there was the loneliness of danger in his life. He is in prison in Rome at this particular time. While in prison there, the city of Rome was on fire because Nero, the emperor, had purposely set the city of Rome on fire and in turn blamed the Christians for it. And in that crowd of Christians were some of Paul's friends, some of his comrades in ministry. Some of them had given their very life in that very fire. And Paul, though while he's behind bars, he's not, if you would, being affected by the fire, but he is experiencing the loneliness of danger. He's also experiencing the loneliness of despair. Many scholars believe his last imprisonment was in a prison called the Mamertine Prison. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it is a prison that was damp, it was run down, it was full of pestilence. This was where Paul was at that time. Thus, his request in chapter 4 and verse number 13, that when you come, bring the cloak with you. Bring the coat with you that I left at Troas with Carpus. Bring that because he is cold. He's soon going to enter into the winter season while being there in prison. And so he is experiencing, if you would, a little bit of loneliness, of despair, because of where he was at that time. But he also, and I think this is the biggest part of, I think, the spirit of his loneliness, and that was the loneliness of detachment. You see, he was, and rightfully so, when you're in prison, you're cut off. You're cut off from your family. You're cut off from friends. I mean, it isn't like everybody just comes and visits you and so forth every day, every hour. That's just not how it works. And that was especially true in the time in which Paul was in prison. But he is experiencing the loneliness of being detached from people. For instance, there were those who had turned against him. Look in chapter 1, would you? Chapter 1 and look at verse number 15. He says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes." These two individuals had turned against him. Notice in chapter 4 and verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." So here was a partner in ministry with Paul, who, having loved the present world, departed from Paul, got out of the ministry, went to Thessalonica. What he did there, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But yet this was a man who was a partner with Paul, but now had turned against him because he loved the present world. That hurts. I don't care how strong of a Christian you are, it hurts when those who stood with you in ministry now turn against you. So he experienced that. Then he experienced those who stood against him. Look in verse 14. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Paul had experienced many times over. He would preach the gospel. He would preach the word. He would preach the truth. But as he was preaching that, it was almost like these guys were right behind him, if you would, coming along behind him and saying, "What he just preached is not true. You're not saved by grace, you're saved by works." Thus he wrote the letter of the book of Galatians. He many times had false teachers that were dogging his trail, and they stood against him. And again, I don't care how strong of a Christian you are, you take your stands and you live for God. And sometimes when you do that, that can also be a very lonely place. Even if you know that you did right before the Lord, even if you know you're in the will of God, because God did not promise that it would be an easy way. And we find that Paul has experienced this loneliness of detachment, those who turned against him, those who stood against him, and those who left him. Look again at verse number 10. He says, "Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, and then in verse number 12, Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus, and then in verse number 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick." So this was, by the way, not the first time Paul was ever in prison. So he knew what it was like to be in prison for preaching the gospel. But now he's coming down to the end of his life. And he's saying, while I'm in this kind of context, all my friends have evaporated. All my friends have left me. But one man, he says in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is here. And we find in the context that he asked Timothy, according to verse number 21, "Do your best to come before winter. I need that coat. It's cold in here. It's damp in here. And Timothy, I need you to be here with some items that I'm going to request for you to bring. I need you to bring the coat. So here is a man who, expressing, though he doesn't use the word lonely, can't you just get the sense like I do, that here is a man down at the end of his life, he's kind of going through a little spirit of loneliness. Doesn't take away from his Christianity. I think it shows his realness. I think it reveals to us that no matter how strong you are as a man of God, as a woman of God, you can have moments when you feel lonely. Paul did. And you just get the sense everybody left him except Luke. Now, they had some good reasons, but many of the reasons that he mentioned were not good. But we find also in this passage some encouragements to help us in times of loneliness. Would you notice, first of all, there is what I'm going to call the physical encouragement. He says in verse number 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Now we'll get more into that verse in a moment. But here is what he's saying, and he says, "I want you to bring the cloak with you. I want you to bring the coat with you, if you would." He needed that physical encouragement. You know, sometimes when you experience loneliness, you need that physical, something physical, something that sometimes will say that will help you to go get away. And sometimes curling up with a good book in your hand, sometimes having something physical. Some of you, you turn to a cup of tea. Some of you turn to a Mountain Dew. I don't know how that makes you feel any better, but I've taken a drink of a Mountain Dew one time, and that was enough for me. It's like, really? And I know now they try to dress it up, cherry Mountain Dew and all that stuff, but end of the day, it's still Mountain Dew. It's still a big sugary drink. And you, some of you, you're smiling at me. Some of you young people, you love that. I get it, but not for me. But having said that, you do need physical encouragement. But you need personal encouragement. Because look at verse number 9. He says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And then he says in verse number 11, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are rich in friendships? Someone has said, if you have five friends in life, if you can live all your life, whatever God gives you, and you can live that life, and you have five friends, you're rich. Those friends are important. The wisest man outside of Christ penned in the book of Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Thank God for companionship. We know that the Lord is always with us, and we rejoice in that. But many of us are like the little boy who was told that he shouldn't be afraid of the dark because the Lord was with him. And he said, "I know that, but I want somebody with skin on." Sometimes we need that person with some skin on. And that's not to take away from the presence of the Lord. But sometimes we need that individual we can look eye to eye with, that we can shed a tear with if need be, that we can give a hug to if need be. We need that companionship. And Paul here alludes to this. He says, "Timothy, you've got to do your diligence. You've got to give it your best to come unto me shortly. I want you here." And Paul had mentored Timothy, and there was a lot to the life of Timothy that meant so much to the Apostle Paul. That was a personal time of encouragement for Paul. Do you have someone that can speak into your life words of encouragement? just when you need it most. I have such a friend. His name is Randy. Randy has entered into my life many years ago, but to this day, Randy is able to pick up that phone and call me, not when I know he's going to call me, but it's just at the right time in my life, and he'll say this, "How is my dear friend doing?" I just talked to him this week. And every time we talk, I always feel richer for it. He's such an encouragement. And I think about Paul, how when it seemed like everybody else walked out of his life, he had a few remaining friends that stuck with him. And when you are lonely, reach out to those friends that the Lord has put into your life. Pick up that phone and call them or text them and communicate with them. Because you never know how that will lift your spirit and encourage you along the way. So Paul realized that what encouraged him in his time of loneliness was something physical, something personal, such as friendships, and then mental encouragement. He writes again in verse number 13, "Bring with you not only the coat, but bring with you the books, but especially the parchments." Now, what were the books? I don't really know what books they were. Again, Scripture doesn't tell us completely. Could it be some of the scripture that Paul had already been penning? I don't know. But whatever it was valuable to him, and he needed the books. But notice what the scripture says, "But especially the parchments, especially the scrolls, especially the book." I'll tell you what, when there have been times when I have been discouraged, when I have been down, when there have been those moments in my life, there is nothing like the Word of God that lifts me up. There's nothing like going to God's Word and just letting God love on me through His Word and tell me that, hey, everything's all right in my house. Everything's all right in the Father's house. Just trust me. Oh, what encouragements I have received from God's Word. And for Paul, yes, I believe he was a man of the Word. He was a man of God's Word. And I believe he had sort of the testimony of Job, where Job wrote, "I esteem thy word above thy necessary food." I've been reading the life story, though I've had to pause on it because right now I don't know where it's at. Our house is kind of turned upside down, and so a lot of stuff got put in boxes and so forth. But I was reading the life story of a Christian who was, you could call him a missionary, but not the missionary that as we think of. He would go and be a supporting cast to missionaries in the country of Sudan, for one. And that's where he got arrested. And he writes about how that when he was in the prison, and I would tell you it almost sounded like a similar prison that Paul was in back in his day. It was damp, it was cold, and if they really wanted to punish you, they would put you in this one cell, solitary confinement, and literally turn on the refrigerator, as he said. And you just like just shaking, no blankets, whole cold floor. But he said, "The thing that kept me sane through all of that was as they would allow," notice what I said, or he said, "as they would allow," that is the prison authorities, "I would get a copy of pages of scripture sent to me from my wife or from my children. And oh, I would read them over and over and over again." And that's what, quote, kept him sane, was God's word. Paul would soon be executed. But Paul was able, if you would, to go down to the end of his life saying in this same chapter, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. All the way down to my last dying breath, I did not turn on the Lord. That mental encouragement, the scriptures. Then there was spiritual encouragement. Look now at verse 17. After he wrote about Alexander doing much evil to him, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here now, yes, he does latch on to something he never departed from. But just like that little boy that needed somebody with skin on, he wanted those friends, but he knew that he had a friend that stuck closer than a brother. And he says, the Lord stood by me when no one else would stand by me, according to verse number 16, when all men forsook me. When nobody else, even Timothy, you were ashamed of me being a prisoner. And I had to tell you, don't be ashamed. I'm here in the will of God. Don't be ashamed to embrace this, Timothy. You may end up here one day. So don't be ashamed of the Lord. And here Paul says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened. The Lord did not forsake Paul in that dark, dungy cell. He stood by him all the way. No wonder he could write in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How'd you do it, Paul? Well, when everybody else turned against me, the Lord didn't. He stayed right there, and he strengthened me. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Have you ever had those moments when you needed that spiritual encouragement? When you needed that time when you felt alone. Many times in prayer, and I hope that the Lord never hears it from my lips as repetition, because that's what the Lord had to condemn the Pharisees for. When you pray, it's just repetitious. But I many, many times, almost daily without fail, I say, Lord, I thank you for your presence in my life. I thank you that you never leave me. I thank you that you never forsake me. That's strengthening. Because you know there are times in life when you go through the valley of heartache, you lose a loved one. And now there you are in that house all alone. But you're not alone. The Lord is with you. It may be that you've experienced the heartache of having a friend walk out of your life. Someone who you confided in. Someone who you could really pour your heart out to, and they pour their heart out back to you. But something happened and they walked out of your life. That hurts. Some know the heartache of going through a rocky marriage and then going through a divorce. I've read that going through a divorce is like losing, as far as on an emotional scale, like losing a loved one. That's hard. That hurts. It's not what you, quote, signed up for. You stood before God and you said, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. But then something happened and that there was a division. That hurts. All I'm saying is this. There will come times in your life when you're going to be very thankful. Though you may be now, but when you feel all alone, you know that God has not left you alone. I think of the Perrys this morning and their grandson still in the hospital, right? He's had a few times when his heart stopped and it's been a rough road. And I think about Danny and her husband and going through that and seeing their little boy with tubes and stuff. That hurts. That hurts. But you know one thing that they can count on? They as grandparents can count on? And Danny and her husband can count on? Is that God will never forsake his own. Why that little boy is going through so much in just a short time that since he's been born, I cannot answer that. But I do know this, that God will never leave nor forsake. I'm so thankful today for God's presence. For Paul, this was huge. This was huge in his life. When everybody else forsook him, he says, God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Today, has the lion of loneliness struck in your life? Has it been roaring loudly in your life? If you do not know Christ as your Savior, listen carefully. Then sin has separated you from God and you are lonely. Listen carefully, because I was there. Lonely because of sin. Sin separates. But Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, came into this world, born of a virgin, went to the cross, and died for us. So that he could reconcile God and man. He is that mediator between God and man. As a 9-year-old boy, accepted Christ as my Savior, I was reconciled to God. He's not only my Father, but he's my friend that sticks closer than a brother. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then understand that Jesus died alone on that cross for you to deal with your sin so that you could be brought into harmony with God. If Christ is your Savior, it is very possible that you, believe it or not, even in a church this size, feel lonely. Identify the reason for that. Embrace God's presence in your life because he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And church family, if you have a close friend and you're going through a time of loneliness in your life, reach out to them for fellowship and encouragement. This is why, you know, I mean, our church isn't the only church that has this. But we have people that come to this church alone. I mean, physically. Literally, you come to church alone. I want to encourage you. As I look out over the congregation this morning, I see some people sitting in some different places. And that's good. But normally where I see you are sitting alone. But today, you're sitting beside someone. I'm saying that to say this. See, well, people probably just want to be left alone. I get that, but listen carefully. Of all places, people ought to have a friend. They ought to be able to find a friend in church. So when you see somebody sitting alone, don't let them sit alone. Say, hey, you want to come sit with us? Or, hey, you mind if we sit with you? I remember years ago, there was a lady who lived just down the road. She now is with the Lord. We did a mailing in the church, and it was just a short mailing. We just went through, at that time, we had the Gaines phone book. I know phone books are like obsolete anymore, right? But we went through the alphabet. Started right there, letter A. I think we went through the letter C. And there was a lady by the name of Sandy Compton. Just lived down the road, just past the corner store down here. She got our letter. When she came as our first-time guest, I asked her, how'd you hear about the church? She says, I received a letter. Well, one soul was worth all that mailing. It was worth it. But she said this to me. She says, Pastor, I must tell you. She said this to me on her first visit. She says, my biggest fear of coming to this church or any other church was I didn't want to come in and sit alone. Well, when she told me that, I made a beeline to one of the ladies of our church, and I told her what that lady just said. I said, would you go sit with her today? And those two ladies became very good friends. Because there was an outsider who didn't look to come in to want to be alone. She had her husband pass away years before that in her life. She never remarried, but she wanted to have a friend in church. Now I realize that some come to church alone because their spouse is not saved, or church right now in their life isn't a priority. And so that's tough. That's hard. Because you want your family sitting beside you when you come to church, right? I know I do. And so, may I say, just a word of encouragement to us as a greater church family, don't let people be alone in church. Say, well, they're self-sufficient, they're good, they got it. That's not the point. We were made for companionship. And so, as I look over here, I don't mean to call names, but I just can't help it. I look right over here. I see two ladies sitting together this morning. But I think about Sister Madeline. And I think about, I won't go into all the story, but how I became acquainted with you and your husband. And we go out on Lake Fenton together. Yeah, that was fun. But then Wayne started to come to church, and Madeline started coming to church, and then her husband passed, and she kept coming. And there have been many a time I've looked over this way, because this is where she always sits. And she's never said to me, Pastor, I've got to have somebody sit beside me. She's never said that. But today she's got Sister Debbie sitting beside her. Now, I don't know what Madeline thinks about that. She hasn't written me any letters and say, would you please tell that Debbie to leave me alone? I just want to be left alone. She never has. They're friends. But you know where it started? Right here in church. What a great place. And so I want to encourage you. If you're going through loneliness today, yes, the Lord is always your closest friend. But God has designed it that we have friends in our time of loneliness that will help us. And may God help us today to learn from the life of the Apostle Paul that when everybody else flees from your life, the Lord will stand by you, and He will give you strength and see you through. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. Thank you for the life of Paul. I know as I've studied this passage, I just sensed in him, though he doesn't use the word loneliness, but you can just sense people just departing from him. Even when he took a stand before Caesar, no man stood with him. But you did. And you strengthened him. And so, Father, how I would pray this morning that there are those here in this service who are going through a moment of loneliness. Would you encourage them? Would you help them with what they've heard this morning? Would you strengthen them? Would you comfort them? And Father, it may be that even this big old world we live in, that they may not have a friend. Oh, may they find a friend in this church. Someone to whom they can pray with, laugh with. Someone that will encourage them. And how I thank you this morning that you stand by us at all times. So help people is my prayer. Now with their heads bowed this morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, I didn't know what you were going to preach today before I came, but God knew, and this is a message that I needed. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, Pastor, that God would strengthen me with what I have heard. That's my need. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand, rub your hand, say, Pastor, yes. Remember me in prayer. God has touched my heart with what I've heard here this morning. I would that you remember me in prayer. Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody else? Somebody else. Say, God's touched my heart. God has touched my heart with what I've heard this morning, and I would that you remember me in prayer. Somebody else, while we wait. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. I ask this, do you know Jesus is your Savior? I know many of you do. Praise God for that testimony. But I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here who say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. That's my need. I'm not going to call your name, but would you just lift your hand up, rub your hat, say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. That's my need. I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all while we wait. And now, Father, how I thank you for touching hearts. In particular for these that have raised their hands, I'm thankful that you see and know their hearts. You know what they're experiencing right now. And I would that you would strengthen them and help them during this time. May you encourage them with a rich friend. Oh, not monetarily, but someone that can just step in their life and speak those words of encouragement and never walk out of their life, but be there for them. Would you help them, Father, to rely on your presence in their moments of loneliness? Thank you now for touching hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to encourage you. God has touched your heart with his word this morning, or you want to come and just spend some time praying. Maybe you have a heavy burden in your life today and you just want to spend some time praying about it. Come. You can sit here or kneel here, but respond today as Sherry begins to play through right now. Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be, is what that song says. Amen. Amen, amen. Look this way if you would this morning. God has touched your heart. I can help you in any way. I'd be glad to talk with you about that and pray with you about it. Again, if you have friends, praise the Lord and value them. Don't take them for granted and thank the Lord for that.